Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Thank you so much for being with us. My name is Pimelo Modena. Thank you so much for joining us right here on Point of View. We're going to be doing this until 10. It's our very second edition of our Mbizo. Mbizo is where we ask you to be a part of a national conversation, something that really touches us all and is something that we should be opening our minds, our hearts to, and engaging with. Not just having, you know, the guests tell us what to do, but really I would like to have your take as well. You may have seen reports over the weekend, and this has been something that's been going on for a while, but recent reports from the Eastern Cape of extortion circles in the Eastern Cape, where there has just been, and we are told they have escalated in such a short space of time. In fact, we are told today, reports on the ground are that since the minister paid the visit to the province and was trying to, Minister of Police was trying to find out from the ground, you know, what's really going on. In fact, it's escalated even more. That's what we're being told by business, small businesses in the township, small businesses in Umtata. And it is a concern when you start asking the question, if it's only happening there, everybody's saying, no, it's actually happening a lot in townships. It's happening a lot in communities where safety is an issue. So these sort of security threats, if you do not pay us a certain amount of money, then you will not be secure in running your business. And those are the amounts of money that we are told have been required are just absolutely astronomical. So we're going to have that conversation just after 9 o'clock. Please join in and tell me about your experiences. Now, coming to this story, we've dealt with this story for a while now, and it really is wonderful to see that now we have come to a point where things are starting to align. This is a story about Diepkloof Hostel, where for some time last year there was some dissatisfaction by residents of Diepkloof Hostel, who were saying they will not go and vote if nobody takes their plight into consideration. The hostel is dilapidated, parts of it dilapidated. And there were obviously, if you remember, some back and forth between the city of Johannesburg as well as the province. The province then said, okay, we will come in and assist. The city said, well, you know, we also don't have the kind of money that's required to totally do this thing on our own. So we do need some support. We were told at some point that, you know, we will come back and revisit the story and see who will come in at what point. On the line with us is the Joburg MMC for Human Settlement, Mlungisi Mabaso, who really graciously agreed to come and talk to us after his visit today to the residents of the Diepkloof Hostel. Thank you so much, MMC, for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you very much. Greetings to yourself and the listeners at home.
I suspect it was a good day today when you did actually arrive at the hostel. You were warmly welcome. What news did you have for the residents of the hostel?
Well, it was a good day indeed, but with challenging engagements. Because I think we will have an appreciation that the residents of Diepkloof Hostel have long been waiting for the development of that particular hostel, considering that, you know, it's one of the hostels that requires an urgent intervention because of how the structures of that particular hostel are posing a danger to the human lives that are residing within the space. And our oversight, in fact, emanates from the challenges, in fact, that the city has encountered in trying to address the challenges which will see the redevelopment of that particular hostel. And one challenge is that we do not have sufficient spaces to decant people out of the dilapidated structures so that we are able to demolish those structures for the purposes of redevelopment. So part of our engagements today was to see if we can find an alternative accommodation so that we are able to house those that are still residing in the old dilapidated units, and also engage with the leaders on the possible solutions that the department is trying to put in place for us to attend to those issues that have been raised and which are in a way becoming a hindrance in the progress that the department is actually trying to make in dealing with the issues of human settlements in the space.
So, I mean, there were many different parts, as you're saying, to what needed to be done. There are parts where you were able to sort of do a bit of upgrade. So what conclusion did you ultimately come to? Because as you're saying, it's going to be challenging to also relocate some of the residents that are sitting in dilapidated spaces.
One, we have agreed that we are going to convene a public engagement. But it will be in two folds. One, we will engage with the direct affected tenants who are residing in an area where we are going to demolish, that we had already started demolishing, and then we'll go to the broader public meeting because we are facing it. So there is a section that we have started with in terms of demolishing, then we'll move into other spaces within the hostel. So that's what we are going to do first. And secondly, we are going to engage with those that still have spaces so that they are able to accommodate the ones that must be relocated, because we said we don't want to put in a temporal structures there, because there are structures that were erected 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. People were housed there for the purpose of development, and those people are still there. Mm-hmm. Even today. So it was meant to be an accommodation for 5 years, but it's almost 15 years now. We said we are not going to do that, but what we are going to do, because we had units that were constructed by the provincial government which were not allocated, were used those, and they are not sufficient. So we have asked other people who've got spaces to allow people to settle while we are commencing with the development, and they've agreed. But we've got an additional that we have identified another alternative which is outside now the hostel, hence the imperative for us to engage with them, because they will then be compelled to move out of the hostel so that they are able to get the accommodation. So those are the areas that we have identified, and those are the interventions that you are putting in place. But the block that you are starting to demolish, we are also fencing it so that you are able to protect it even in future invasion, so that no one is able to go back there, because that part of the hostel will be the construction site, and we don't want to see anyone there. And there's also a consideration that the roof, in fact, in that hostel, it's an asbestos roof. So for us to demolish, we need to make sure that the space is cleared so that we are able to protect the residents, even those that are still residing in that part of the hostel. So all those interventions are being put in place for us to protect the space and those that are living in the surrounding. But those are the interventions that we have put in place, and those are the proposals that we have put forth to the leadership, and they are amicable to those, and we'll then go for a public engagement so that at least we get a buy-in from the residents, because we feel that we need to engage with them so that they understand what the department is doing, for them to take ownership and also to move along with us, so that we do not encounter any challenges when it comes to the residents having to understand what is happening in their space.
So the public engagement is still to come? You referenced earlier that there are those who've agreed to allow for, at least sharing of accommodation. When did that happen? Is that not the public engagement that you're referring to? I'm a bit confused.
Yeah, no, the engagement, when it started long time ago, there was an engagement. But remember, they've moved, quite a long time without engaging with the broader community. But we felt, because there are those that are going to move out of the hostel, so we need to engage them on that. Secondly, those that still have spaces, we still need to engage with them. But we also need to have a public meeting where we are going to present, you know, the progress of the project and where we are heading to, so that they have that particular understanding. So each and every move, the decision that we are taking, we need to bring them along so that they are not left behind. And that's why we said, because there are these proposals now that we have put on the table in trying to mitigate the challenges that are becoming a hindrance now in the progress. Let's also, you know, invite them so that they are part, you know, of these decisions. Engage with them, then make them to understand, and also inform them of the proposals that we have put forth to the leadership and what the department is going to do in responding to those challenges that delayed, you know, the progress on the ground. So that's why we are. For us, it's important to engage with them so that we take them along to everything that we have done as the department.
Okay. Today, did you start any demolition?
The demolition has started, but what we have done, we have removed the doors and the windows. So we have not removed the roof because it's an asbestos, and there are health and safety requirements.
Yes, sure.
When you need to remove the yes. So that's where we are, and that's why for us, we need to move with speed in making sure that there is no one in that space where we are going to demolish, because when we are demolishing, the site must have been cleared so that we are able to protect our residents there. So we have removed the windows, we have removed the doors, but we have not removed the roof because of the health and safety that we need to be compliant with.
So the people that have had to move out of the portion that you have started demolishing, as you're saying, it's just windows and doors. How many are those?
There are,
or at least families. Blocks.
Mm-hmm. There are three blocks that you have already moved. So there is one block with 148 people that we still need to move. Mm-hmm. So we have moved three, then we are left with one. So that's one block that we were trying to find another alternative accommodation. And those are the residents that we are going to engage, because some of them will be moving out of the hostel, but depending if they are willing to do that. But we are going to engage with them so that at least they also understand the need for them to move, so that we are able to proceed with the demolition.
Okay. And so where did the others go? They are those the people that have already been allocated space by fellow residents in another portion of the hostel?
Yes. So others have been allocated by the other residents.
Okay.
Others we moved to vacant
units.
Okay. That were constructed by the province long time ago.
All right.
And we have moved the majority of the residents that are residing in that section.
All right.
So majority of them have been moved, but it's only that 148 that we are still trying to find an accommodation for them.
The ones that have been accommodated by other residents, what's the arrangement? Are you compensating those who are accommodating them, or this is just you're asking them for goodwill?
Well, the development is for everyone. They are all beneficiaries to the development, hence the need for them to cooperate and also assist. So there is no compensation that is paid. There are one family at Deep Kloof, and they consider each other as such.
MMC,
and that's why it was
help me understand
for them to accommodate.
Help me understand how it actually in real life works. So I have my X number of children in my unit, and maybe a spouse or whatever the case may be. And you, as the city, have said accommodate other residents that need to come out of this particular block because we need to refurbish or demolish. Are you asking me in my unit to make space for another family? How does it actually in real terms work?
The one that I have agreed to allocate to accommodate others,
mm-hmm,
are the ones that got spaces in their units.
Just give me an example so that we have a sense of what it actually looks like in real life.
Okay. So in a hostel, I don't know if you've been to a hostel before. especially the one in Soweto, because they are not the same as the
exactly.
one
give us a sense of what it's like.
In Soweto, for example, you will have a unit with 8 rooms, for example, and we have a communal kitchen. We are sharing a kitchen.
Mm.
So in my unit, maybe you'll find that I'm staying alone, and I've got sufficient spaces to accommodate somebody else, maybe to get the other side of the unit, of the room. So in that sense, then you are able then to say to your fellow brother, okay, you can put a bed on this side so that you are able to share. So that's how it happens. So if you've got a family and you've got children, you've got a wife, then there's no way that you can accommodate somebody else. But if you are staying alone, or else maybe if in a unit you've got two rooms that are not occupied, maybe the owners in KZN, maybe for something else, or maybe they are working in another province, but they only visit once in a while, then those units, those rooms then can be used to accommodate. So it's not like we are putting them in the spaces where there are already people that are there. So it's spaces that have been vacant, and the owners maybe are not there, maybe others have passed on, and the room was not allocated to somebody else, and so forth. So it's those kind of spaces that we identified in the hostel, and we had requested that we temporarily house those that we needed to relocate. But others have said because they are staying alone, then they do not mind to share, because you will find that, I've got my fellow brother from my hometown in KZN that I can share with while they are developing in his space. Then I will allow that person to come and stay with me, because we are from the same area in KZN. We know each other. We understand each other. So those are kinds of dynamics, in fact, that were put in place for us to request those that got spaces to accommodate others.
And how long are you asking people to be generous in this way for?
The development, because we are starting with the demolition. So immediately once we've completed with that, then we'll start with the development. The town planning process is underway. Johannesburg Water is busy. City Power is on site even today. The implementing agent that is going to develop was also on site today. So all the key role players are on site to make sure that once we conclude our demolition phase, then they will get into they will get to on site so that they are able to commence with the development.
Yeah, I mean, I just need a rough estimate. We are speaking about units where people, which were meant to be temporary, where people found themselves living in them for 15 years. So give me a sense. Are you just give me a sense? A year, 2, 3 years, 5 years? What are we asking really people to be generous for? How long are we asking them to be generous for?
It will be difficult to give the completion estimate, because remember the construction in its nature and the challenges that exist within the system. But I think because we are working with them, the members of the community, the leaders, the process will be a bit faster because there is cooperation on the ground. And I think all these the challenges that we always encounter in the construction, will not exist in that space, because everyone is part of the development. And that's why I said to you earlier on that's why we'll have this continuous engagement with the community, because we need to take them along for them to understand the work that we need to do and the role that they also need to play. So giving the completion will be a bit difficult, but we are moving with speed, and we are making sure that all the processes that we need to engage ourselves on do not become an impediment of us having to complete these constructions on time.
But surely, I mean, they're not really responsible for things like budget allocation and some of the problems that you've had between yourself and the province of tender issues and so on. So there's not really much they can do. They can listen, but they can't really be responsible for the speed of the project.
Yeah, well, the department in terms of project management will be responsible for that. And I think the commitments that the team has shown on the ground is commendable. And I think with the amount of work and the resources that we want to put in Diploma Hostel, they will be able to move with speed in terms of project management and making sure that we are able to deliver on time.
Have you secured all the money that's required for this development? Because the last time we spoke, even to the province, it was a bit of a back and forth between, you know, who's got the resources, who doesn't have resources, and who will take full responsibility. And also there are legacy problems here where the projects were not completed because of service providers that didn't do the job. So have you completed and sorted all of those things out?
Yeah, remember the hospital is belongs to the city, is the city's property. So all the developments in the hospital is the responsibility of the city. But I think you have an appreciation that the human settlement is a concurrent function of the provincial and the national government. So the city operates on accreditation. So we are the developer in a way, and we do receive the grants from the national government in terms of the installation of infrastructure, and then the province will then subsidize with the HSPG, which is for top structure. And in this regard, to prove to one of the hostels that have been prioritized for development, so we are going to work towards putting all the infrastructure and the engagement with the province for them to put in the HSDG. So the allocation happens annually, which is 12 months. So each and every financial year, then you'll be able to put in the money for the work to be done for that particular financial year. So I think with how we've been doing our allocations in the city of Johannesburg, we are not going to encounter any challenges. Today we had a meeting with the NSC and the minister, and they've shown appetite in assisting Johannesburg in dealing with the informal settlements, the redevelopment of hostel, and also supporting the mega project. But we have to demonstrate, by doing the actual work on the ground, that the assistance that we are seeking from them, we are actually doing something, on the ground about that, and we believe that they are in fact going to support us. But there is money that has been allocated to commence with the development of the group hostel. And remember, it's not a one financial year project. So the development is a multi-year, expansion. So it's going to take a bit of time. And that's how development and allocation of resources are in the government space. So it's not something that will happen in 12 months and it's done, it's completed, and the hostel redevelopment is done. So it's going to take, quite a number of financial years for us to complete the development, because while we are doing the proof of stand, we have obtained the occupational certificates for us to decant the Matala hostel. So the next hostel that we are going to demolish is Matala hostel, and the same question will arise to say, do you have a sufficient capacity or budget? And the reality is that government will never have sufficient money to deal with these delivery challenges, but we need to start somewhere for the residents to see that we do want to see their living conditions being changed for better.
Okay, so then if you're telling me this is a multi-year financial program, then you would be able to tell me what your plans are, actually. You would be able to tell me what exactly you guys have planned. Over how long in your financial planning have you planned to develop this program?
You see, we are at the first phase of the development, and there's still quite a number of work that we still need to do in terms of concluding planning and so forth. And that's why I said it's very difficult to give explanation considering the challenges that exist within the space. But with the work that we have already done, I'm confident that we are going to complete this development on time, and we are not going to encounter any delay. So once we have started with the project, then we'll be able to see it to completion within the record time.
Well, MMC, nobody here knows what time is. When you say on time, it means nothing to us, because you can't tell me what on time looks like. We can only hold you to that because when we know what on time looks like, you're not telling us what on time looks like. So how will we know that it will be done on time?
No, it's how we are planning it.
And yeah, but you're not telling us what the plans are. You're not telling us what the plans are. You're telling us that you can't tell us, but you're telling us it will be done on time. And the reason this is important, MMC, you'll appreciate the city.
What I'm trying to illustrate here is that the construction in its nature, it's very difficult to give it the completion time because of the number of works that you need to embark on for you to complete the work. But if you commence with the development to say, I'm starting with the development now, and these are the priority residents that I need to take back because they've moved, they've made the space and moved, to make way for the development. So, and you say to them, move immediately when I'm done, I'm going to bring you back. Then that's what I'm referring to say we are going to make to expect that so that at least within a certain period of time, we are able to bring them back. But to say at this particular financial year, we will complete the project. I don't want to make that commitment knowing very well that the amount of work and the challenges that exist within the construction space, you know, you can even go beyond your estimated time. And for us, it's not a priority to say at this particular time will be done. What is the priority for us is to commence with the project so that at least the residents of the Kloof Hostel can see that the government is now serious about addressing and redeveloping the hostel.
MMC, you need to find the same language you're going to have to use when you speak to stakeholders on the ground. You're going to have to explain it here. And here's the problem. You've explained several times who owns the project and so on. We are very familiar with that. And that's just the problem. The city never honored that plan. The city was never able to actually develop and finish. We know that. It's not necessarily in your term, and I appreciate that. It's a legacy problem. But I'm saying, so what then are you going to tell the residents of the hostel will be different now, that the city will be able to project manage and make sure that this project actually does happen? It hasn't happened before.
Completed the electrification.
Yeah, but you know there's no comparison.
It's the same thing.
Mr. Mabaso. Let me tell you why.
Here it's about project management.
Let me just finish.
Here it's about project management. So if others could not finish the project, it does not mean we won't finish the project.
It's a city.
There is none of the project we have done at the Kloof Hostel, we have not completed none. Because the electrification that I started, we're able to complete it. The houses that I started in Lufering, I was able to complete it. The houses that I started in Riverside, I was able to complete it. So I do not have a project that I started that has not been completed. In fact, so I won't be in a position to respond to the project that were not completed prior to my arrival to the department because it doesn't exist with me.
Fair enough. Mlungisi Mabaso is the MMC for Human Settlement. And obviously, as he says, he's going to be speaking a lot to other stakeholders. On the line is the chairperson of the Diepkloof Hostel. I'm going to have to take a quick break because I'm going to be in trouble if I don't do that. But I'm going to speak to the chairperson of the Diepkloof Hostel just to get a sense of how they feel about the plans that the city has for the hostel itself. Diepkloof is getting a facelift. On the line with us is chairperson of the Diepkloof Hostel, Ubab Sbongiseni Khoza, who was listening into my conversation with the MMC of Human Settlement in the city of Johannesburg. Bab Khoza, thank you so much for your time. Good evening and welcome. Siyabonga Baba, thank you so much for making time for us. Ngiyathemba Baba ukuthi umzwile uMMC ukuthi uthini, uthi usazoxoxa nani, nina nithini Baba ngoba nimbonile namhlanje.
Angiqale nje ngibonge ithuba nje onginika lona. Mhlambe ke thina njenge leadership mhlambe yase Diepkloof Hostel si happy kakhulu njalo kungena uMabaso. Cishe uMabaso simthatha njengomuntu owubaba kithi ngoba ukwazile ukuthi ethi engenile wasinika ugesi esingakaze size sibe nawo empilweni zethu, wasinika amanzi esingenawo. So siyajabulela nje kakhulu ukubona umuntu ofana noMabaso ngoba umuntu ofana noMabaso ebambisene no Patrick Phuphi UED Executive Director yase Human Settlement babambisene kahle kabi futhi ke basebenza kahle kabi nje siyihappy ngomsebenzi wabo abawenzayo.
Manje ke uthi baba Mabaso usazonicela ukuthi nibanikeze ispace abanye ukuthi nihlalisane nabo. sengicede kanjani nina njengomndeni uthi niyazana ni valenda eyodwa nizokwazi ukuhlalisana nina nithini ba
sikuvele sibhizi la sibhizi ngakho lokho sibambisene nabaholi bonke angithi ukukhumbula sesukuthi amablu emaphina esihlala kuwo ukuthi uba nembede 44 ngapha uthola ukuthi owesinye isikhathi imbede ewu4 iowner umuntu ewu8 iowner umuntu oyedwa lezo ipace ezivela lapho siye singene sicele ukuthi ngoba iproject i-contract society sicela ke siboleke lo mbede for temporary until iproject beze beyiqede but ke sikhulumisana kahle kabi futhi sinabantu siyazwana akukho lapha ukhomo ukuthi kuba khona iy'nkinga vele ke iy'nkinga ma usebenza ngabantu ngeke ungabi nazo kodwa ke nje ke sisebenza kahle kabi nomphakathi wase-deproof makondanale project
laba basasele baba bona bathini bathi yini bangafuna ukuphuma
no mhlawumbe ke asikubeke nje kube clean ukuthi abantu abasele ngokuthi ukuthi abantu abafuna ukuphuma it just that nje ke ilento ethi i-base lezi esitholayo abebengakho singakaba babani indawo kufanele ihambe khona yes but ibona bawuthini ukuthi basuke kule block H behambe sibatholele indawo ezright zokuthi bekwazi ukuthi for temporary while sebese busy ne block ngali asibe sibahlalisa lapho no bayafuna bona ukuhamba started balinde nje thina ukuthi sibanike indawo then i project ngathi cha siyakhumbula ukuthi siphumile fa emgwaqeni bayofuna i project sawufuna intuthuko sisebese sinikileke omntwana idi upheshe kuphi bathi nanga siyanika ke manje nansi intuthuko so akumelanga ukuthi mase beyilethile bese thina siyabantu sikhombise futhi ukuthi ngathi asiyithandi kufanele siyamukele kahle futhi ke noma ngabe kuthiwa imapha ama-dynamics akhona esibhekana nawo sikwazi ukuthi sihlale phansi njengabaholi nomphakathi sikwazi ukuthi ayina sedlule kahle lapho mama
unethemba baba ukuthi le space nizosithola
angisho angikubeka nje cace ukuthi njengamanje nje namhlanje bemthando ke simove abantu siyayithola i-base siyakhuluma nabantu abantu bayi-understanda le nto esizama ukuyenza but ke angifuni ukuthi bakhona abanye abantu abangasinika iy'ndawo nothi ukuthi bengasidingi ngoba bengaboni senzani kuwukuthi nje-ke abanye abantu basincisha iy'ndawo ngoba benabantu abasasuka emakhaya bathi babekele iy'ndawo hhayi ngoba bengafuni ukusinika iy'ndawo bona bayafuna ngoba bayayibona ukuthi nansi intuthuko ingenile sinawo ugesi sinawo amanzi into esingakazi ukusile nayo like
u-MMC uthi angeke akwazi ukusho ukuthi bazoqeda nini meniyikhuluma nina uke wanichazela ukuthi nizolinda isikhathi esingakanani
no besingakayixoxi leyo ngoba besisebhizi nalento yokubuka ukuthi sigila kanjani la bantu abaseleyo but ngicabanga ukuthi uma saqeda ukudila nalaba bantu abasele lapha e-blocking age mhlawumbe ke lapho sesizokwazi khona sihlale nabo phansi mhlawumbe ukubukake ukuthi manje kuyaphambili ukuthi sihamba kanjani ngoba ngicabanga ukuthi abakwenzile kithi ama-project abawenzile ayikho i-project abathema beyenza yakhombisa ukuthi abayiqedi so siyabathemba futhi basebenza ngokuyikhandla futhi bayabaza abantu siyamthanda thina umuntu noma kwethiwa akayiqedi into kodwa kungcono ayiqale ukhuluma ukuthi imali iphelile and then siyazi ukuthi mhlawumbe uma ungena futhi enye ibhajethi bawukhubeka no angesibe nayo inkinga as long nje kukhona into emuvayo ekhomba ukuthi bayamuva ngoba siyazi ukuthi ngeke sibebe nayo imali yokuthi bekhandi postela yonke beyiqele but ngithina nje njengabahlali base-deepcoof nabaholi base-deepcoof siyakujabulela lokho okuncane okwenzakalayo abantu bayabona ukuthi futhi khona lapho kuyiwa khona
sibongile babukhoza siyabonga
bonga mina
Diploof Hostel Chairperson Sbongiseni Khoza, who is a representative of the residents of the Diploof Hostel, saying that they are actually happy with the progress. They are working very, very well with the MMC of Human Settlement. They trust him. Every effort that he's put into these projects, they've seen the results thereof. The electrification of the hostel earlier, he started the project, he completed that project, and obviously they're going to judge him on the projects that he himself has started before. So for now, they're very satisfied with the project.
If you you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.